This is Eric Michaels, and you have tuned in to the eHealth Radio Network and the Relationship Advice Channel. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience at eHealth Radio. Today we are continuing a series covering the issue of global bullying. Visiting with us today is Patrick Dottie, who has now broken his silence and has written a memoir about the abuse and bullying he endured from an older brother throughout his childhood and adult life. He has come to share some of his story today on eHealth Radio. Welcome, Patrick, to the show.
Thank you. Welcome. I'm glad to be on.
I am as well, so I really appreciate your willingness to come out and share your story. So when you were 9 years old, tell us what happened in the department store and what happened when you got home.
Sure. It was a typical day. It was a cold winter, January, and the holidays had just passed. And my family lived on the northwest side of the city of Chicago, which as well did several of our relatives. In particular, my one cousin who growing up was very close with, they lived about five blocks from our home. And on this particular day, my brother and I and one of my best friends went over to my cousin's house to have a snowball fight. And we were having fun, as kids do. The time frame of this was January of 1973, and I was nine at that time. And we got cold and decided to get out of the cold weather, and we walked down the block from my cousin's house to a department store. At the time, was located on Belmont Avenue, called Goblet's Department Store. It was a big department store, pretty similar to the size of a Sears or a JCPenney's. And we went to the candy counter and pitched in our coins and gathered our money and purchased some candy. And we wanted to get out and warm up and in the store, so we went to the stairwell in the back of the store and sat and ate our candy and joked around. After we had finished, my brother and my cousin decided that we should stay in the store and play hide-and-go-seek. And I was chosen to be the seeker, and hid in the corner and started counting, and they ran off to hide. And after a few minutes of looking for them, I had to use the restroom. So I asked one of the clerks where the restroom was, and she pointed towards the stairwell and said it was on the second floor. So I proceeded to go up to the second floor, and as I was walking, I remember my mom always telling us not to go into the bathroom alone without our brother or father. But I really had to go to the bathroom, so I proceeded to get into the restroom. When I got into the restroom, I heard there was another person in the stall next to me, and that person got up, and I heard them walk to the door, but I didn't hear them leave. After I had finished using the bathroom, I put my jacket back on and went to the sink to wash my hands. As I turned, the gentleman was standing at the door looking at me. And he was a very scary-looking figure. And I just didn't really think much of it, so I started to walk towards the door. As I did, he put his foot against the door, grabbed me, and put his hand over my mouth and put a knife to my neck. And he said, "I want you to follow me out to the back parking lot, and you're going to get in my car with me." And at this point, I was in utter shock and was screaming and kicking. And he said, he put the knife to my neck again. He goes, "You're going to come with me." And I started to scream more and kick more. And at that point, he knew he wouldn't be able to get me out of the store silently without being noticed. So he locked the bathroom door, threw me to the floor, and he proceeded to rape me. When he finished, he put the knife back to my neck. And he said, "If you ever speak a word about this, I will track you down and I will kill you." And he got up and he ran out of the store. At that point, I lifted myself up. I was bleeding and I was in utter shock. And the only thing I can think of is I needed to get out of there. I was afraid that he might be still there waiting for me. Not even remembering that my brother and my cousins were in the store, I ran home in the snow and got home and immediately ran up to my bedroom and hid in my closet. About 20 minutes after that, my brother came home and he was screaming my name. And he came up to the bedroom and he heard me crying in the closet and he pulled me out of the closet and he said, "I'm going to kill you." He said, "Mom and Dad are going to punish me because you left without me." And he started to beat me up, punching me until I was bleeding more, and then threw me to the floor. And that was the last day of my innocence as a child.
Wow, what a story. And so let's look at your childhood. What was your childhood like? Maybe if you want to touch on prior or after that incident.
Prior, it was a typical childhood, growing up in a family of five kids, being the youngest, and being pampered by my mother. Afterwards, on that day of January in 1973, my childhood was taken away. I was never the same again. I fell into a deep depression. That year I was in the third grade. Prior to the incident, I was an A student. After the incident, I ended up flunking the third grade. My parents pulled me out of the public school and put me in the Catholic school, thinking that would make things change. And then my life was never the same from then until I was a teenager, because I feared this man, this person. Then in 1978, I was at my best friend's house, who ironically is still my best friend. His parents still live in the home that he grew up in. And that day, we were watching the news after school in his house. And all of a sudden, we heard sirens. And we looked out the window, and there was, the police were surrounding his house. Not his house, but the neighborhood. And then we saw a bunch of newscasters. And when we, as we were watching the news, the photograph of a mass murderer, John Wayne Gacy, came up on the screen. And they had come to arrest him for the murders of 33 boys. I ran to my best friend's bathroom, and I started throwing up, and I was crying. And his mom came and said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I'm sick. I want to go home." And she's like, I can't take you home. We can't get out of the neighborhood. The streets are all blocked off." After that, I attempted suicide for the first time, and fortunately, it did not go through, obviously.
So when you experienced physical abuse by your brother, what did your parents do to intervene in that situation?
Well, they didn't really do much, except my father. My brother cracked my head open when I was five. I had to go to the hospital, get stitches. He cut my lip open when I was seven, had to go to the hospital, get stitches. He gave me a concussion when I was 10. Had to go to the hospital. Every time I went to the hospital, the doctors in the emergency room would ask, "What happened to your son?" And my parents would say, "Boys will be boys." Then when my father would come home, he would actually beat the hell out of my brother for what he had done to me. And that made things worse because then my brother would beat me up more because of him being punished.
Today we are with Patrick Dottie, who has now broken his silence and has written a memoir about the abuse and bullying he endured from an older brother throughout his childhood and adult life here on eHealth Radio. Do you think the violence in your past has had an effect on relationship choices in your adult life? And I would just guess before even you're answering that it probably has.
It has, most definitely. I hid my entire life. So probably at the age of 14, I knew that I was gay, but I knew that I could never come forward because my family would never accept me. And so I hid. I hid the violence. I hid the rape. I hid the bullying from my brother. and I hid my sexuality, and I fell into the mode of pleasing my family. So I got into relationships. I married two women who were very abusive to me as well, mainly verbally, not physically. And then I ended up coming out, the first man that I came out with, who I was in a relationship, beat me, and ended up about 4 years ago breaking my arm. And at that point is the second time I tried committing suicide. Yeah.
What do you feel new and expecting parents most need to know about what it takes to stop the cycles of family violence?
Number one, parents have to see the signs of sibling bullying and not just pass it by as kids acting out on one another. As I said before, I was taken to the hospital several times, and my parents made excuses. And at that time, you know, that was common. It was the late 60s, early 70s. And in my family, my parents didn't want to address it because then we had to show our relatives that we had a problem in the family. But, the parents have to see what's going on, and they have to take action and stop this, because bullying starts in the home and then it gets into the school, in my opinion.
Yes. So it certainly is a different perspective when you think of bullying. You think of it being in the schools or the neighborhoods, and the last place you really think of is in the family environment. What do you think needs to happen for family violence to be reduced or ended in the United States?
Well, you know, parents, teachers, children, they need to be educated on abuse, number one, and bullying. We have kids killing themselves throughout the country now because of bullying. And someone has to step up and come forward and show that and educate, you know. And I have many friends in the educational realm that sometimes get pushed away because parents don't want to face the fact of what's going on in the school systems.
As someone who recently has taken on advocacy, what does this work mean to you in your recovery?
Well, advocacy has, against abuse and bullying, has become my life passion now. I was chosen as the 2012 spokesperson for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services as their trauma victim survivor for 2012. I'll be going live on their website in June, and then I'll be used in classroom education. As you all had mentioned earlier, I also have written my manuscript, which is in the process of being published. And it's my story of survival and how I became a public speaker to help others that have not yet, you know, comes forward. You know, our statistics show that 80% of men and boys never come forward about their abuse and bullying out of fear and out of shame. And I was one of those statistics. And what I want to do moving forward is help these individuals and show them that if they can make it from what I've been through, so can they.
We've been talking with Patrick Dottie, who has now broken his silence and has written a memoir about the abuse and bullying he endured from an older brother throughout his childhood and adult life. The website of reference, take a look and get some great information and inspiration. It's you and me can stop bullies.com. Patrick, I really appreciate you coming.